Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Emergency. Important instructions will follow. The following message is transmitted at the request of the United States government. This is not a test. A nuclear attack was commenced against the United States. 15 nuclear bombs have detonated in several areas across the country. They include Baltimore, Boston, Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, New York, Pennsylvania, Portland, Maine, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, San Diego, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. At this time, all residents within a 400-mile radius of these areas should seek a fallout shelter. Fallout is a product of nuclear attacks. Prolonged exposure to fallout will result in certain death. If there is a nearby location that has been designated as a fallout shelter, go there now. Otherwise, seek shelter in the interior part of a strong building on the lowest floor. Make sure you have food, water, and a battery-powered radio with you. Do not exit the fallout shelter until the all-clear has been given. Tune to a station.
It sure does appear that the day will come that we will hear an actual emergency alert that is going to sound throughout the United States of America. And in something as small and simple as what you just heard, what was your response? What was your initial response? And, you know, you connect these two little dots where you have the children singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, and maybe some others sitting around a campfire singing Kumbaya, and then the reality of an emergency alert going forth over the news media waves and telling people to prepare for what's coming down the pike. And that was just a very small little taste. But today, it's not just a false scenario. Obviously, there is a massive Category 4 Hurricane Michael heading moments away, maybe just a couple of hours, as I understand it, from making landfall at winds of 145 miles per hour. They're calling this the most devastating storm in the history of that particular area. And that's all there is to it. I mean, it's a real scenario that cannot be ignored. And people need to be awake and they need to be alert and they need to be prepared for the things that are coming down the pike. And that's just the reality. And so we will be praying and hoping for the best. But a number of people are believing that the hurricane is a prime distraction from some other major events that could develop through the next several hours, days, or weeks, but not into the months, that there are things being prepared for some form of release. We believe that is true. We believe we're going to see a major event. It was not even 7 days ago, I think, last Wednesday. It may have been a few days earlier where on our radio broadcasts, we said that in the next 7 to 10 days, there would be a major event in the United States. And again, we're not just guessing. These are promptings of the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, here it is on the 10th day of October, and a major event is developing for a large swath of over 1.5 million people, I guess, are under hurricane warnings. There have been evacuations. Again, Americans in transition. We're seeing the idea of refugees now very real. It's not going to be a storm and then people come back and everything is normal. People's lives are going to change, and it has continued like this since 9/11/2001. It is a never-ending story. However, because of the urgency, so many of us believe that these things were happening immediately, and yet there is that progressive slow-motion train wreck that we are witnessing, and now we are looking at the prime time for a national disaster that is going to strike the United States. And before you know it, you're going to be hearing these realities. And the question is, what will you do? I mean, people don't like to be pranked, and I'm not wanting to prank anybody. I'm trying to wake people up to the reality of what is being prepared for our country, because we are in this very real, dangerous reality. And you always have to remember something. When it came to the Titanic, the band was playing on even while the ship was going vertical. After that great Titanic struck the iceberg, the band was playing. I mean, they had their instruments out and they kept, were fleeing for their lives, panicking, not know what to do. They were looking for the lifeboats to rescue them from certain death. And so, ladies and gentlemen, America has struck an iceberg. It did long ago. And we did not pay attention to the gaping hole that left. And the floods of judgment have been pouring into our nation ever since. Ever since 9/11/2001, it has never stopped. The increase, the intensification of the judgments that have hit the United States of America in order to turn us around and away from the path we were on, we continued through the iceberg field. And so we have not just hit one. We are in a minefield of icebergs, and we keep getting hit one time after another, and yet we have refused to turn. And we are witnessing so many amazing things. My goodness, it is really amazing when I step back. Yesterday I was talking out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I think we made and covered some really good ground, but I was thinking after the broadcast how so much of the Second Thessalonians and different passages within the epistles lined up with the end time prophecy of the book of Revelation. And I was thinking back again to 2014 and 2015 when those ominous signs, I mean, I want to talk about it a little bit, the ominous signs of four blood red moons, which we know now to be a tetrad, the two solar eclipses, the constellation that showed up in the skies on September 23rd, 2017, known as the Revelation 12 constellation. And I want to go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want to remind us of one thing that will be. And let me get some notes here for just a moment as well. I want to come back here and open up a very important document that I was doing a little study on yesterday. And then we'll put these things together, Lord willing, and get this ready to go. So as soon as that comes up, I'll put it out there. Here it comes. Okay, so this is a document of something that was shared. And let me open it up. And I'm sorry I wasn't prepared for this. And let's see. So we have 2 Thessalonians. So let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's go over to verse 7. All right. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And let's read what it says. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So let's focus just a little bit on the tree and how this wicked one is coming. And we're seeing that there are signs. He's coming with lying signs and wonders, okay? With all power and signs and lying wonders. So I was looking at that and connecting it to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And it says in Revelation chapter 12, I just have to find my notes here. Sorry about that. Verse 1, Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm connecting this to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the lying wonders. Revelation 12, 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She being with child travailed. She cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. So there we have a wonder. And then in verse 3, it says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Okay. And in the word wonder here, we come up with these signs again. And then I went to Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And where was he cast out? Into the earth. I'll connect the dots in just a moment. Verse 12 of Revelation 12. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath because he knows that he has but a short time. And verse 13 says, when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. So obviously, Revelation chapter 12 is a connection to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul is warning the church all these years because of the spiritual, supernatural working of God that he could write something 2,000 years ago and it have meaning for a generation 2,000 years later. And that's exactly what's happening with us. So this beast, this devil that he's talking about all along in 2 Thessalonians, this lawless one, this son of perdition, this son of destruction, he is coming with power. He's coming with all power. Now, it's interesting. Let's look at it one more time in verse 9, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. So he's coming after the work or the erigos of Satan. And I have some scripture on that as well. But he's coming with all power. Now, that word power is the same Greek word that we use as Christians, which is the word dunamis. And for us, when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we receive dunamis, and that is force in the Greek. This is the meaning of force or miraculous power. So there is a genuine force of power. There is a genuine force of miraculous power. But we also know that that word means strength and violence, mighty, ability. And so the son of perdition, the son of destruction, the huios of destruction, the full natured of wickedness and destruction is coming with all dunamis to work miracles, but they are demonic miracles. They are lying wonders. Okay, because the word signs, he comes with power and signs, and the word sign there is simeon or semion, which means an indication, especially a ceremonially or supernatural miracle, sign, token, or wonder. So he comes with lying sign and wonders, miracles, tokens. The word wonders, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, is the word miracle. And it simply is the meaning of a prodigy or an omen. Now, let's look at this. A wonder is a miracle, but it is also an omen. It is also something that we look at Revelation 12 and we saw this a number of wonders. And remember what it says in Genesis 1:14, that God put the sun, the moon, the stars for signs and seasons, which are omens, right? And that's what that word actually meant, omens, alerts, banners, okay? So we saw some omens, some wonders, guy, just over a year ago. And remember, the messenger in the heavens is declaring things to people on earth who are understanding and looking up. And the sign is the coming of Revelation 12, the devil to the earth. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about this one who is coming after the working of Satan with all power. He's going to have his own power, his own signs, his own lying wonders. And he's going to come with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Okay? So we know that Satan, by the way, when it says he's coming after the working of Satan, the word Satan in this meaning is Satanus, which actually means the accuser. The accuser. So the accuser is coming with lying signs and wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And where is he coming? He's coming to this earth, Revelation chapter 12. Now, four blood red moons, two solar eclipses, the Revelation 12 constellation. Were these the signs, omens, and tokens of the one who is to come? And the answer is simply yes. The answer is yes. The Revelation 12, 9, the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. His angels were cast out with him. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. So this devil coming down is literally the appearing or the revealing of the second Thessalonian son of perdition, the son of destruction. Now, a couple of things we did not talk about yesterday that I want to talk about for just a little bit is this son of perdition. And I went just a little bit deeper into who this one is. Okay. Now, the son of perdition, we talked about that, but I want to look at Revelation 9:11. And isn't that an interesting number? 9:11. And then I better check the phone. Hold on one second. I got to check something out here. Let's see where I am. Looking for Daniel Seckham, if he's calling in today. I don't see him up there as of yet. Daniel, if you're hearing the message and you are going to press one on the dial pad, Daniel's having a blast, by the way. He just met with the guy that was in Benghazi that survived Benghazi, and this gentleman that he was with, he just met with him, I believe, over in Texas. And doors are opening wide, as we knew that they would for that young man, and he's bringing forth the message. And so I'm going to be going back and forth looking for Daniel to be pressing one on the dial pad to get into this conversation. So we'll be waiting for that to happen. And as we're waiting, I want to go back to Revelation 9:11, where it says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon." Now, that is a very important name there, Apollyon. Okay, so Apollyon in the Greek means destroyer. Okay, so he is the destroyer, Apollyon. Now, you'll remember that the son of perdition carries the same word. It's Apollya. So perdition, we have the son of perdition, and perdition means ruin or loss, destruction, okay? And so the king over the bottomless pit is Apollyon, whose name is destroyer. He's not, it's not in the sense that the two buildings of 9/11 were destroyed. No, he is the destroyer. Apollyon is the destroyer. Perdition is the destroyer. The sun, the huios, the full manifestation of destruction is the one that's coming on the earth in anger against everything that is called God. And that's what 2 Thessalonians was all about. He is the opposer to everything that is called God. So Apollyon, the destroyer, his name in the Hebrew, by the way, is Abaddon, and that just same thing, destruction, ruin. Okay? He is also known as the angel or the prince of the infernal regions. He is the minister of death and the author of havoc on the earth. So when we see a son of perdition, or we see the little horn in Revelation 17 going into perdition, it doesn't mean he's going into the place of being destroyed. He's going into the destroyer. He's the full manifestation expression of the destroyer. Now, why is this important? Because Jesus said that you can discern the signs of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Well, it is obvious to those who are watching that the signs of the times are telling us through the blood red moons, through the solar eclipses, through the Revelation 12, signature in the heavens, the constellation. And by everything that's going on in this world right now, that the moment of the appearing son of destruction, this destroyer demon, is at hand. And he's ready to be appearing. And that's what Paul was writing about in 2 Thessalonians. He was warning them of the time it would come. Now, in their season, they had the Neros, they had sons of destruction, but they were not the huios. They were not the fully matured sons of destruction. Adolf Hitler was not a huios. He was a child, but he was not a huios. The huios of global devastation is about to make landfall, just like that Hurricane Michael is about to make landfall. And when this destroyer comes and is unveiled, it's a game changer all over the world. So while we may be waiting for a nuclear blast, there's something more devastating than a nuclear blast ready to make landfall on planet Earth, and it is the devil himself. The full manifestation of himself in a being and in a system that is going to do everything in his power to make war with God. As I said yesterday when I ended the broadcast, we have been in boot camp. I don't care how long you've been knowing these things. You and I have simply been in boot camp, and boot camp is still somewhat of a preservation, but the time comes when we're called to war. And ladies and gentlemen, it is now war time. War is come, and we know that Jesus said in the last days that there would be wars and rumors of wars. He said there would be famine and earthquakes and all kinds of issues going on around and about. But then would come the global great persecution against the Christian community. And I declare that that great persecution that is coming in the last days against the body of Christ that will be on planet Earth is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 24 when he said, "Then shall they kill you." Then, what is the then? It is the moment of shifting from the general signs of the times to the immediate great tribulation that is referred to in Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13. And again, we could just look at it. Everything in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 to 8, are only the general beginning of sorrows. He says in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. What? The deception, the wars, the rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, troubles, earthquakes. And then he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Sorrows for who? Well, verse 9, then shall they deliver you, the disciples, up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, the disciples of Christ. And you, the disciples of Christ, shall be hated of all nations for Jesus' name's sake. And then many disciples will be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And at that time, many false prophets will arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, there it is. He's the what? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he is the mystery of iniquity. He is the lawless one. He is the opposer, the violator of the laws of God. And because iniquity, or the violation of the laws of God, will be what? Shall abound, which you're beginning to see all over the world anyways, the love of many will wax cold. Yes, the iniquity, the violator of the law of God, is going to abound. And as it does, the laws of Yahweh will be taken down. The laws of unrighteousness will be promoted. And it's going to sweep the hearts of disciples away, because the love of many will wax cold. They're going to be betrayed. They're going to be offended. And there's just going to be this great falling away. So Matthew 24 is absolutely connected to Thessalonians chapter. All right, I'm looking for Daniel, seeing if he's calling in yet. No such sign of the young man. So he must be on a journey himself today, and I wouldn't doubt it. He's speaking everywhere. So I will keep looking back, waiting for Daniel to call into the broadcast, and then press 1 on the dial pad. Until that time, let's go back to what we're seeing here. I need you to see Matthew 24 lining up with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and both of them lining up with the book of Revelation chapter 12. And I need you to know that we are leaving the boot camp and we are being sent to war. And the image that I have in my mind about leaving boot camp and being sent to war is that boot camp is where all the simulated events take place. This is where all the testing and the trials and every fiery trial that we go through, and this is simulated. But then when they went in World War II and they hit the shores of Normandy and those Nazis were firing away at them, you know, and I know what they had to endure. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the bullets are about to fly, the arrows are about to fly, and the weapons of satanic war are about to be released. And you and I, members of the body of Christ, the end time warriors that we've always been talking about, are about to be released into this end time battle. And we must be prepared for the things that are coming down the pike. He says, he who endures unto the end will be saved. And so we have connection here. We have connection here to 2 Thessalonians, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. We have connection here to the book of Revelation of what is swirling around us, but do we discern it? Are we discerning the signs of the times? You know, this hurricane that's ready to hit right now on the 10th day of the 10th month in the year 2018, there's an excellent video out. Let me tell you how some of this works a little bit, and then I'll get back to Hurricane Michael. Do you know in 1988, now I've heard of this before, but I never connected the dots like I did until last night. In 1988, the front cover, I believe, of Time magazine had the picture of a phoenix, which is a bird. And standing over, this phoenix was standing on a burning pile of currency, dollars, global currencies. Whether it was the yen, whether it was the Deutschmark, whether it was the lira, whatever it was, there's a pile of money burning, and out of the ashes is standing a phoenix, and around the phoenix's neck is a gold coin. It looks very much like a Bitcoin, but this was in 1988, 30 years ago, and around the neck of this phoenix bird was the Bitcoin, and on the coin it says 10, T-E-N, and then the number 10, and then the year 2018. So 30 years ago, Time magazine put out a news article that on it appeared on that coin, the number, the it was spelled out T-E-N, then there's the number 10, and then at the bottom, 2018. So in 1988, they were predicting 10-10-2018. Well, welcome to 10-10-2018. But on the front cover of that magazine, it was a reset of the global currency where dollars, paper, would be burned up and a new coin like Bitcoin would be raised up, and this new digital world currency would commence. Well, here it is today. Nothing yet has happened to make that a reality, but it was 30 years ago that that sign was around and about, and you should look this up on the internet. Just Time magazine, the phoenix rising out of the ashes of global currency, or whatever you want to do. So it's interesting today that there were some people out there concerned recently about today, 10-10-2018. And it is interesting that today, 10-10-2018, in just a couple of hours now, a massive Hurricane 4 is going to strike, and it's going to hit Florida and then move through Georgia, and it's going to move through the Carolinas again. Isn't it interesting that the Carolinas just saw Hurricane Florence? And isn't it interesting that we had the solar eclipse that started somewhere around Oregon and landed somewhere right around the Carolinas, South Carolina particularly, and then they've been having a tremendous amount of problems going on, haven't they? So, you know, X marks the spot, and there is, again, connection. There's connection. My thinking at this moment is with this landfall of the demonic empire. I've got a call coming in right now. Let me take this call. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Doing well, Pastor. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. Praise God.
Your scenario is right on, but let's make it a little more interesting. The magazine was actually the Economist magazine, which is owned by the Rothschilds. So that takes the Rising Phoenix up to another level.
Yeah, you're right on about that. Thank you for the correction. So the Economist magazine, owned by the Rothschild in 1988, shows a front cover picture of a phoenix rising above burnt currencies and one global currency, and it has the number 10-10-2018. So did they fail?
You are correct. No, I'll be surprised if something doesn't happen very, very soon, especially with a global reset, because there's no way, it is physically impossible to pay back the debt that we have, not only the 21 or 22 trillion, but that they say it could be upwards of 250 to 300 trillion in unfunded liabilities that we don't even know about. So when you look at that whole scenario, and China is dealing with the same thing, and so are most of the other global superpowers looking at massive debt, there's no way it could ever be paid back. So when they have a global reset, it will be globally. Hence, that's why you have all the different global currencies in that pile of money.
Yeah. Okay. So now, how does this tie in from your understanding with, we're hearing these news reports about Hillary Clinton saying, you just can't be civil with Republicans. Are we starting to hear the revolutionary chatter coming from the left in a more demonstrative way?
I think it's already here, and you'll see one statement after another by the leaders on the left, and they're talking about, okay, we have to get more violent, we have to get more aggressive, we have to get in their face, we have to take it to them, and then out of one side of their mouth, and then out of the other side of their mouth, they're telling people, if you want to bring civility back to the United States, you need to vote Democrat. Well, it's the Democrats that are saying, hey, let's get in their face, let's be more violent, let's be more aggressive. So which is it? It's an oxymoron. You can't have one or the other. You can't have them both. You got to have one or the other. And I think we're pretty sure we know which one they want. And the means to their end is violence, is getting in your face, is intimidating you. But the problem is they're going to realize real quick that there's not a lot of us on the right that are going to be intimidated. There's a lot of us on the right that will be passive and not say something. But there's a whole lot more of us on the right that will not be intimidated and will do what we have to do to stand up and defend what we believe is right.
The second great revolution and the second great civil war in the United States has been predicted by many for such a very long time, but it certainly does appear that the cover is being ripped off right now like never before.
I believe Dimitri Dudeman's prophecy about a civil war, an internal civil war in the United States, will be the beginning of the end of America. And unfortunately, I believe that's where we're at, Pastor. And I'll let you go speak into that, and have a blessed day.
All right, brother. Thank you very much. Brother Bill, driving out on the road. Be safe out there, no doubt about it. And we'll just go ahead and open the lines right now. If you have questions or comments about what you're hearing, I mean, it was like buckshot this morning, there's no doubt. Rather than, line by line, we just threw some buckshot out there. And maybe you'd like to comment on what you heard, because I hear something beyond just the scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is trying to produce an understanding within myself and within others about the times that we're in. And, emergency alert. People have heard it over and over and over again, and yet there's not been a national emergency like and since 9/11 2001. I mean, particular parts of the country get hit like today. Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas and maybe Virginia and some others along the way will experience some problems, but it's not a national emergency. Now, I would think that today with the hurricane ready to hit, this would be a prime time for a major strike against one of the cities in the United States, maybe Washington, D.C. I mean, if you're putting this thing together and you have satanic energy behind you, well, today would be the day to go ahead and release your strike while the eyes of the world are watching over here in Florida. Now you bring a strike and then your responders are down. Now the nation goes into chaos. And you can't say that that's impossible to happen. It's not just a scenario. It is something that's on the radar. And when it's on the radar, you have to pay attention to it. It's not just, rhetoric. It's not drama. It's something that could potentially happen. Now, why 30 years ago, The Economist, owned by the Rothschilds, put out 10-10-2018, a global reset for currency? Because that's their goal. Has their goal been interrupted? And if it really was a goal and it really was interrupted, that should be telling enough to people that, wow, there really is a great global conspiracy going on. There is something laboring and working to destroy the United States of America, which seems to be the last bastion of righteousness before if this nation collapses, the whole house of cards collapses globally. And out of that global collapse would rise a one world empire, which would be consistent with the word of God. The question is this that moment? I mean, you could see it, you could feel it, you could touch it. It's there, it's everywhere. You know, you could deny it, you could turn another cheek and go bowling, or if you want to, but I mean, it is there. The potential is right now at this very moment, the next couple of hours, the next couple of days, and the next couple of weeks, not months. So, I mean, this is swirling around us at this time, and we should be aware. And the question is, what would you do if that national emergency alert happened? What would you do? How would you prepare if we heard that annoying sound, whank, 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 what would you do? And are you ready? Am I ready? How are we ready? What does it mean to be ready? We just had, I got a call this morning up on our ARC that the pump, the water pump is gone. There's no water. You know, let me ask you a question. What good is a ARC if there's no water available on it? Maybe somebody left the pump running and the water drained out and it put a drain on the pump and now it's gone. What happens in electromagnetic pulse where the pump is gone? You know, if there's no water, how are you going to survive? What are you going to do when martial law comes? What do you do with martial law? Do you resist or do you yield? When they tell you to turn over everything you have to them, are you ready to yield? If they tell you to go over here in Wyoming because it's safer in one of their camps, are you ready to go? If they come into your neighborhood with tanks and guns and weapons and they go house to house, are you ready to go? Are you ready for what's coming? You know, nobody really knows. It's fascinating to think about. It's adventurous, but not the kind of adventure we really want to know. And yet it's not such a mystery, because just 70 some odd years ago, there were people like Corrie Ten Boom that had an adventure, all right, and they all went into the Nazi concentration camps. And she had to live through the quote-unquote adventure. But it wasn't the funnest thing. Even though God saved her life miraculously. And to do what? Why did God save Corrie Ten Boom's life? To come and tell us Northwest Arkansas will be a refuge. It will be an ark. To tell us of what's coming down the pike. To get us ready. And how have we paid attention? Well, I think most of us probably listening to the broadcast today, we've done everything we know to do. You know, because financially you get strapped. You can only do so much. But you have to maintain your preparations as well. You know, you need those backup water pumps. And so we would to God that there would be enough money to go and do lots of different things to prepare. I mean, the government put billions into their underground facilities. The government is already preparing supposedly a new White House in the Ozarks. That it's being built over tunnels and systems underground to take care of them. I mean, billions and billions of dollars have been spent to prepare for the U.S. government. you and I most likely are not going to receive a letter saying, come and knock on the door 7 times and then wait 2 seconds and knock 3 times and then come on in. You could be a part of our underground survival system. No, we're going to have to learn how to survive ourselves and what it means to survive it. It's not going to be vigilante style survival. You're going to stack a pistol on and go, the people that are coming. Listen, when gangs of 7 to 10 to 15 have high powered weapons, you know, that's, if you survive that, great. But we need to be more prepared by the Holy Spirit. We need to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. Everywhere we go has to be Spirit-led. And so my prayer to God is not to live in fear, but to live aware. And then, of course, to ask God, because of our limited ability at times, to shut every single door that we are not supposed to walk to, that God would bring a blessing, that he would shut doors that no man could open, and he would open doors that no man could close, so that we would only go through open doors that are provisional by God for our benefit, and that he would shut doors that no man could open that would not be beneficial to us, his kids. And that is my prayer for you, for me, whether we go to the grocery store. If God doesn't want you to go to Walmart today, then you're going to have a flat tire. The car won't start. The battery is dead. Something's going to happen where he's going to make it impossible for you to go. If you're thinking about traveling, that it will become impossible to get on that airplane or that train or that bus or in that car. But again, that's the kind of trust we're going to have as we live right now. I refuse to live in fear. How about you? I will not live in fear, but I do want to have a holy fear of God, and I do want to be cautious, and I do want to be sober, and I do want to be watching, and I do want to be alert, because that is what my master commanded me to do. And as watchmen, there are many of them out there, our job is to declare what we see, period. And then if there is a prophetic unction, as my friend Stan Johnson said at the Prophecy Club, then we prophesy according to what we believe. But for the most part, the watchmen are on the wall and they're watching. And again, you know, we felt it very strongly about 10 days ago, 7 to 10 days ago. Put it on Kerm Radio. Set it on the airwaves. Something's coming. There's going to be a strike. Get ready. 7 to 10 days. And here we are. And there's a big strike coming, but it's in the form of a hurricane. Unexpected. Nobody thought this was going to be much, but here it is now. The biggest thing. Is it being controlled by HARP? Is it being controlled by the weather experts? Only God knows what's really going on. Where is this going to lead? What's going to happen the rest of the day today? Are you on high alert? Don't be anxious. Don't be led emotionally. Get down into the spirit. Let love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control guide your every movement, guide your emotions. You know, we don't have to be on the roller coaster of, you know, intense highs and then intense lows. And, you know, we just need to be led by the spirit, but watchful and ready. Because we've been in boot camp and many have been professing, we are the army of God. Well, get ready. You're coming out of boot camp. You're going into military battle now. And the powers of darkness are stepping it up because the devil is about to make his appearing on planet Earth. And when he comes, he's ticked. He is angry. That's what the Bible says. And he's angry at you as a believer. And if you think for 1 second he's not going to come hunting for you or I, well, we're not thinking right. But we've got to be prepared for when he comes to say, in the name of Jesus, Satan be gone. And you better know how to do that by faith. That's why I love living with my wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. She knows how to bind up a demon and cast it out. But this level of warfare is going to be intensified to anything greater. So how have your trials been? What have you been doing with your trials? When sickness came upon you, did you rebuke it? When trouble came, when the enemy came, when curses came, how did you stand? How are you standing when fearful things came? How did you stand? It's all been preparatory. The line is open, 818-369-0326. Many of you are listening right now. We'd love to hear what you have to say by pressing 1 on your dial pad, 818-369-0326. We are broadcasting on the Omega Radio Network. We're broadcasting around the world on the internet. We're being heard in Washington, D.C., Florida, other places around the country. We want to make sure that our friends and family are safe. We want to pray for people, it sounds like many people, and again, the prophecy was that America would be a land of refugees, and unfortunately today, the evacuees are going to become refugees because they're not going to have anything to return to in some cases. Prepared. If you're living in an ark, if you're living in a divinely appointed place by God, he called you like Noah to build that ark, to make sure that that ark is ready to go. And we need to find out what's not working right, because that ark has to be able to go through a specific period of time. Now, Noah built his ark for 100 years to last 1 year and 10 days. He spent 10 times more preparing than he did for the actual event. Or should I say 100 times more? 100 times more preparation for the one event. And if you and I are not yet spending 100 times more in our effort, our finances, our preparation for spirit, soul, and body, how are we going to get through a more intense time that the Bible says a tribulation that's never been before and will never be again? So if we've been holding back in our provision from preparing, well, then we're going to come up short. Again, I don't know what today is going to bring. I just believe that in the next few hours, days, or weeks, we're going to see some major events continue to unfold. There's one happening right now. But there's something more on the horizon. And if it doesn't happen now, that gives more time to prepare. But have we been for the last, I don't know, when have you started preparing? What have you done in the last 17 years since 9/11? Maybe that's when you got on board and started preparations. How far ahead are you? Do you have land? Do you have food? Do you have water? Do you have electricity? Do you have backup power? Do you have a community of people that you trust? Are you at peace in your heart? Let's take our call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you, and welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Vincent.
Good morning.
What I'm calling about is yesterday you were talking, or the day before you were talking about the vortex, and that,
yes.
And what came to me, and it was too late to call in, what it came to me was that there is a vortex, and it's like tornadoes or hurricanes or whatever, and it draws up. Well, when I was a child, I lived close to the Mississippi. We used to go on the river, and there was also like whirlpools on the river, small ones and that, and it scared me every time we went across it in our boat. And I think that it's like the earth. We are on the level of the earth, but yet there is something that either draws up or draws down in this earth. And if we are drawn down, we're going to fail or go to hell or whatever. If we're drawn up, we're going to either succeed or go to heaven. And that is what I'm calling about.
Well, amen. And you know what you just did? You just struck a chord of memory in my heart, and I appreciate that, because you know, we are careful with the understanding about vortexes and, you know, the demonic deception. But what I'm seeing in the last days as I'm reading scripture is that the devil has dunamis power. The church has dunamis power. The devil will operate in signs and lying wonders. And yet we know that there will be signs and wonders in the economy of heaven as well. And I'm wondering if at this time, as we pray and are unified and worship, because it is through unified worship, through unified worshipers, that these vortexes are created. That's what God has revealed to us. And is the vortex understanding God's provision for the saints in a supernatural season of miracles, signs, and wonders? The devil has miracles, signs, and wonders. The ecclesia has availability, miracles, signs, and wonders. The portals that are opening for the demonic, there are portals opening for the saints. And so this is another structure, another idea, another understanding that we have to consider. And wouldn't it be an amazing thing for God to create vortexes where spiritual worship through spiritual worshipers has been cultivated, where the provision of heaven and earth is coming together, that ladder, that provision from God to the saints on earth, and then saints being caught in as well up into the heavens like Paul and John. I cannot deny, I will not deny the potential possibility of a supernatural season for those of us living in these days. How about you?
I agree.
Man, if we're so earthbound, we can't experience these things. Ken, thank you so much for your call, and thank you for sharing that and reminding me of those vortexes. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. So great conversation with our friends from South Dakota. The line is open, 818-369-0326. I've got about 5 minutes left in the broadcast. Boy, was that fast. Then I'm going to be heading radio. And if you would like to listen to the broadcast, it'll begin in 1 hour from now, 1 hour and 5 minutes, KIRM Radio. All you need to do is, if you have a device of some sort, it's KIRM, K-U-R-M, K-U-R-M, as in Michael, KIRM.net. And if you go to KIRM.net, we'll be heard, again, all over the world on the internet. And you could also call in to that broadcast as it will be live. I do apologize for not having Daniel on the air today. I'm not sure exactly where he is or what he's doing. I just know that he's out there and some amazing things are happening for him. We want to bless him, keep him safe, and we'll look forward. I'm sure he'll join me maybe tomorrow or the next day, and we'll move forward from there. But with our remaining moments, I want to pray for everyone that's listening right now. And I know that as you pray with me in agreement, you have a friend. You have a family member. You've been warning. You've been reaching out. You've been trying to tell the truth. Let's pray right now. And let's pray for the people that are going to be affected by the storm. Let's pray about what the potential for this moment has brought to us. As watchmen, we are watching, seeing, examining what we have been shown and presenting it for our judicial discernment and understanding. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, our Messiah, Father, we come to you now and we thank you and we praise you and we bless you and honor you and reverentially fear you because you are the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. This storm is nothing to you. You are bigger than the universe that you have created. You are larger than all things. And yet on this earth, Father, we are your people. We are your habitation. We are your temple. We are the bone of your bone, Yeshua. We are the flesh of your flesh. We are your house. And we are seeing many things around us, and you told us to pay attention. And what we are seeing right now seems to be upgraded to a much higher level nationally in our country and around the world. So we are asking for your wisdom, your spiritual intelligence, and your divine guidance. We are asking for your safety and your protection of Psalm 91. We are asking that you would hedge us in and cover us in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we minister and plead that blood over our lives, over our property, over our family and our loved ones, over our friends. We pray that you would continue to shake people awake to the reality of what time it is on planet Earth. Father, perfect love casts out all fear. And I know your love for us is perfect. And I ask that you would baptize us continually with more perfect love, that we would fear not, but we would be prepared. Father, you also have that we are leaving boot camp and going into the battle. And I ask for your equipping, your spiritual wisdom, that we would become not just men and women going and rushing into battle, but being sent on purpose with the mandate to be victorious, to prevail, to be expert at war. Like you, King David asked you, make me to know how to bend of steel in my hands, to run over a troop and hop over a wall. Lord, teach your people how to be victorious in warfare in the mighty name of Yeshua, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray your blessing on all who listen. I pray your blessing on your people as they go, that they would be watchmen themselves, watchwomen themselves, and that you will raise them up in all that they do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to hop on over to Kerm Radio. See you in about an hour. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. You've been listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network. Until we meet again, shalom and God bless.